from the beginning was just the chanting, congregational chanting. We all chant together. So it's a simple thing. It couldn't be anything more simple than sitting together, playing the drum and little cymbals and singing a song in rounds. It's the simplest thing you can do. But this is the process of yeah, so the simple process is the process for this age is chanting the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna and Rama, and we do that, you know. So it's good when everybody just joins in and sings. It's not like it's not meant to be a musical performance that just the talented people or the people who are good at their instruments, they do it and everybody else watches. It's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be that you just simply chant, somebody leads and everybody else follows. Like these days, people, you know, so many people are like, they're afraid to sing. It's like, oh, you don't want to hear me sing. Like, I can't sing. But everybody can sing. And it's like, it's not, you know, like when you're little kids, little kids are in like a first grade class or a kindergarten or something, the teacher just sits down with them and says, okay, class, now we're going to sing a song. And everybody sings. They don't think, oh, I don't have a good voice, I shouldn't sing. Look at Mary, she said she has a great voice, I can't sing next to her. My voice isn't like hers. They don't think like that, they just sing. So yeah, just a little introduction. We're supposed to be like that in devotional service, just hearing and chanting the names of God and never being ashamed or reluctant to sing, to chant. Okay, so I'm going to read a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. This is a verse from chapter 6, and so I'll read the Sanskrit, and then we'll do the word by word responsively, and then we'll talk about it. And okay. Okay. Sanishchayena yoktavyo yoga nirvina chetasa sankalpa prabhavan kamam chatva sarvan asheshata manasayavindriya gramam vinayam yasamantataha. Sa. That. Nishchayena. With firm determination. Yoktavya. Must be practiced. Yoga. Yoga system. Anirvina chetasa. Without deviation. Sankalpa. Mental speculation. Prabhavan, born of. Kama, material desire. Chakpa, giving up. Sarvan, all. Asheshata, completely. manasa,
manasa,
by the mind,
by the mind,
deva,
deva,
certainly,
certainly,
indriya brahman,
indriya brahman,
the full set of senses,
the full set of senses,
vinayamya,
vinayamya,
regulated,
regulated,
samantataha,
samantataha,
from all sides,
from all sides.
Translation, one should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon, without exception, all material desires born of mental speculation and thus control all the senses and all sides, on all sides, by the mind. So, repeat after me. One should engage oneself. In the practice of yoga,
in the practice of yoga,
with determination,
with determination,
and faith,
and faith,
and not be deviated,
and not be deviated
from the path. One should abandon,
one should abandon,
without exception,
without exception,
all material desires,
all material desires,
born of mental speculation. And thus control all the senses,
thus control all the senses,
on all sides,
on all sides,
by the mind,
by the mind.
Prabhupada's purport. The yoga practitioner should be determined and should patiently prosecute the practice without deviation. One should be sure of success at the end and pursue this course with great perseverance, not becoming discouraged if there is any delay in the attainment of success. Success is sure for the rigid practitioner. Regarding Bhakti Yoga, Rupa Goswami says, Utsahan Nishtaya Darya Tattak Karma Pravartanat Sangha Chaga Satovrite Shadvir Bhakti Prasidyati. One can execute the process of Bhakti Yoga successfully with full-hearted enthusiasm, perseverance, and determination by following the prescribed duties in the association of devotees and by engaging completely in activities of goodness. Upadeshamrita, verse number 3. As for determination, one should follow the example of the sparrow, who lost her eggs in the waves of the ocean. A sparrow laid her eggs on the shore of the ocean, but the big ocean carried away the eggs on its waves. The sparrow became very upset and asked the ocean to return her eggs. The ocean did not even consider her appeal. So the sparrow decided to dry up the ocean. She began to pick out the water in a small beak, and everyone laughed at her for her impossible determination. The news of her activity spread, and at last Garuda, the gigantic bird carrier of Lord Vishnu, heard it. He became compassionate toward his small sister bird, and so he came to see the sparrow. Garuda was very pleased by the determination of the small sparrow, and he promised to help. Thus, Garuda at once asked the ocean to return her eggs, lest he himself take up the work of the sparrow. The ocean was frightened at this and returned the eggs. Thus, the sparrow became happy by the grace of Garuda. Similarly, the practice of yoga, especially bhakti yoga in Krishna consciousness, may appear to be a very difficult job. But if anyone follows the principles of great determination, the Lord will surely help, for God helps those who help themselves. Om again to Nandasarana, Chalakaya Chakshur, Anupamya, Tasmaya Shivadevam. So, I should explain for anyone who's new that the ocean is. Everything is personified. There's a a demigod in charge of the ocean. So when they say the ocean personified, means the person, the empowered person who is in charge of the ocean. Similarly, the sun, the moon, people call this mythology, or as Prabhupada said, he said mythology. They think this is mythology. But these things are real. God is real. The demigods are real. There's so many things that we can't see. It's like my father. My father was a scientist, and he was like the epitome of the scientist that Prabhupada preaches about constantly. The scientist who tries to prove scientifically that there's no God. And my father, he told me that when he was like 18 or 20, he took up the study of science with that aim in mind, which is pretty weird, because it's like the exact thing that Prabhupada always preaches again. And his objection or his constant statement was, well, I haven't seen God. I only accept the things that I can see with my eyes, or hear with my ears, or smell with my nose. That was his thing. I only believe in the things that I can experience with my senses. Because they don't think there's any God. They don't think there's anything beyond this world, what could be perceived with the six senses. So this is atheism, obviously. So, but we're not atheists. We don't think of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the demigods as mythology, mythical beings. They're very real. And the demigods are controllers over all the different aspects of the material energy. So anyway, so Prabhupada begins his purport by saying the yoga practitioner should be determined and should patiently prosecute the practice without deviation. One should be sure of success at the end and pursue this course with great perseverance, not becoming discouraged if there is any delay in the attainment of success. Success is sure for the rigid practitioner. But we know that people in this world, everyone is pursuing something. Somebody wants to be a famous athlete, somebody wants to be a famous musician, or a big learned scholar, and they study. There's a lot of people who take up very strict disciplines with great determination. They practice hours and hours a day for years and years and years, deny themselves in so many ways for the sake of music or art or athletics. But there's no guarantee of success. Somebody might be like the best athlete in the world in a particular discipline, say ice skating, figure skating, and they practice their whole life. They're not very old, but maybe 15, 20 years old. But they practice their whole life, hours, every day. They kill themselves, they ruin their body, and their whole thing is, I want to get to the Olympics and win a gold medal and be known all over the world. So they practice, but maybe they are the best figure skater in the world, but the night before the competition, they break their leg, or they get the flu, and they can't skate, or they a move that they've done a million times on the ice successfully, that time they trip and fall, and that's the end. So we try to do so many things in this world. We want to be successful at something. Sometimes we are, we have a little success, but oftentimes we're just not successful, and it's just the nature of the world. There's no guarantee of success in this world. There's no guarantee that you'll succeed at anything. Okay, so the ayes have it, vote opposed. But in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says here, one should be sure of success at the end and pursue this course with great perseverance, not becoming discouraged if there is any delay in the attainment of success. Success is sure for the rigid practitioner. The rigid practitioner of bhakti yoga, there's a guaranteed to be successful. Why? There's a very simple reason why. The reason is that the goal of practicing bhakti yoga is to link yoga. Yoga means to be connected with, or unite, like our work for the wooden things that binds two oxen together who plow a field. That word is yoke. So that word yoke comes from the Sanskrit word yoga. And so it means to link together. So the process of bhakti yoga, the process of yoga, means to link with God, with Krishna. And that process is the most natural process in the world because we're part and parcel of Krishna. It's the analogy is given to a son or daughter who leaves home because they're rebelling against their parents. They want to get out on their own. They want to do their own thing. So they go away from home. And so their parents, they miss their son or daughter, and they're always hankering, they're always wanting them to come home. And when they do finally come home, then they're very happy. So it's a very natural thing. It's the most natural thing in the world for them to return home. And there's no question that the parents, if they're any kind of loving parents at all, there's no question that the parents will welcome them back with open arms. So Krishna, we're part and parcel of Krishna eternally, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And somehow or other we've fallen into this ocean of birth and death. And we just have to purify our consciousness so that we become free from this rebellious attitude towards God and desire again to return home, back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world, directly in the association of Krishna. And that's our natural position. That's our eternal home. We've been in this material world that we think we belong here. There's an example that we've all probably heard of. Some prisoners have been in prison for like 30 years, 20, 30, 40 years. They've become like what's called institutionalized. So that after so long, they don't even want to leave the prison anymore. And if their sentence is up and they have to leave, sometimes they commit another crime just to go back to the prison because they can't conceive of a free life outside of the prison. They've been in prison so long. So our stay, our attack, our bondage to this material world has been going on for so many lifetimes, birth after birth. Janmani Shware, we've been in this material world birth after birth. It's called samsara, the cycle of birth and repeated birth and death. So we hear about the spiritual world, we hear about the kingdom of God, and we're like, oh, well, I don't know, maybe it's at least I'm familiar with it. I don't know this spiritual world. What is that? You know, people talk about it. They talk about God. They talk about going to heaven or going back to Godhead. But right here, this body, this material body, this is what I know. This family that I grew up in, this is who I know. This world, this Boston or Mumbai or Beijing, or wherever you're from, this is what I know, and I don't want to leave here. But the thing is, so that's an obstacle that we face because of long conditioning in this material world. So we have to be convinced. First of all, we have to be convinced that Krishna, that God is real, that Krishna is real. We have to be very firmly convinced of that. And then we have to be convinced that we are eternally related with Krishna in a very close, intimate relationship. A very close, intimate relationship, and that there's a spiritual world, like in every culture, everywhere in the world, there are stories. You go to any country, anywhere in the world, any country, anywhere, there's some stories, there's some idea that there's this place that's wonderful where people don't suffer and people are happy. And why is there that story everywhere? We don't see that anywhere in this world. We certainly don't have any experience of a place like that here. In this world, we see everywhere people are suffering so many ways. Birth, death, disease, and old age. So many ways people suffer. But everywhere, everyone has an idea that there's a place, a wonderful place, where we don't have to suffer anymore. Heaven, somewhere over the rainbow, or something like that. There's a story like that everywhere. So the reason that we all have that is because that's where we come from, and we don't. Is the spiritual realm, the spiritual kingdom, and we don't remember it now, but there's an inkling. There's a vague memory of it in everyone, in each and everyone. One of us, because we are a pure spirit soul by nature, and our original nature is to be a lover of Krishna. We're all originally in our essence, our essence of our spiritual identity. We're lovers of Krishna. Krishna is the best friend of every living entity. He's the dearmost person to everyone. Everyone is looking for love. Everyone is looking for, just like there's a story of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj was one of the last surviving member of the Pandava dynasty after the battle of Kurukshetra, and he was in the womb of his mother. So the last surviving member of the Kuru dynasty wanted to kill him. So he threw this weapon, it's called a Brahmastra, which was going to attack him in the womb of his mother, Draupadi. Uttara. He was going to attack him in the womb of Uttara. So he threw this weapon, which could be directed in such a way by yogic power. And Krishna appeared in front of him in the womb in a small form. Krishna appeared and protected Parikshit Maharaj from being killed by the Brahmastra. So Parikshit Maharaj saw Krishna in the womb, and when he was born, he began looking everywhere to find Krishna again. If you see God once, like in this world, we have the idea of love at first sight. So if somebody sees somebody and they fall in love, and they may only see the person briefly, but they want to see him again and again. They can't stop thinking about him. So that's a temporary thing. These loves come and go. So the person you're in love with now, you won't be in love with later. But for Krishna, it is our eternal relationship. So Parikshit Maharaj, he came out of the womb, he was born, and he started looking everywhere for Krishna. And actually his name, Parikshit, means to look around. Pari means around, and Akshat, comes to Akshat, means to observe or to look or to search. So his name was Parikshit, and what he was always doing was to look for Krishna so that he could see him again, because he had seen him. And if you see God, you will want to see God again and again. God, that Krishna is the most wonderful person, the most lovable person. So he was like that. And Prabhupada says in the purport to that, he says that in that sense, we're all Parikshit, because we've all left the spiritual world, but we're all looking to find Krishna again. And you just notice, like if you walk down the street, in any street, anywhere, wherever you are, you walk and you look at people, and you'll notice that everyone is always glancing around, looking at this person, looking at that person. Everyone is always, you've seen that? You notice, you just go out and notice that, like look at people, you see that everybody is always searching. So everyone is always searching, and because we're pure spirit soul and we're eternally related with Krishna, everyone is searching now for Krishna. They don't know that they're looking for Krishna. They think, oh, I'm looking for the woman of my dreams, I'm looking for the man of my dreams, I'm looking for, I want to have a child just like that one. We're always looking to find our dearmost, most lovable object. So, but that's all a manifestation, a mistaken manifestation, because we're an illusion of our original desire to find Krishna again. Everyone wants to find Krishna, even when George Harrison, everybody here probably knows the name George Harrison, he was one of the Beatles, and the Beatles became attracted to Prabhupada in the late 60s when Prabhupada went to England. And George Harrison became very close and became a disciple of Prabhupada, and he donated the money for the first printing of the Krishna book. This is a later issue of the Krishna book. And so George Harrison, he gave the money to Prabhupada for the publication of that immediately. And Prabhupada let him write something in the introduction to the Krishna book. It says, "Words from Apple." And that was the music recording company. And so one thing he said in there, he said, everyone is looking for Krishna. They just don't know that they're looking for Krishna. It's a very perceptive thing to say. It's a very intelligent thing to say. I'm sure he heard it from Prabhupada. And we're all looking for Krishna. We just and this is where you can find him. You find Krishna in the temple. You can see Krishna on the altar. You find Krishna in the association of the devotees. You find Krishna in Krishna's holy name. The chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is specifically, the Maha Mantra is specifically given as the great chanting for deliverance in this age of Kali. There are many Vedic mantras, many Vedic hymns, but this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is given as the means of deliverance in this age. Can know Krishna. Krishna is present in his name. Krishna Prabhupada used to say that if you chant Coca-Cola, 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 you can chant that, but it won't quench your thirst. But you won't get the feeling of drinking Coca-Cola by chanting the name. But by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, which is Krishna is non-different from his name, then you will directly experience the presence of Krishna by chanting his holy name. And many different ways. Krishna is present in the prasad, the spiritual food that we serve and that we eat every day. The food is cooked for Krishna, it's offered to Krishna on the altar, and then after Krishna tastes the food, he eats it, but he leaves it at the same time. That's called omnipotent. He can do any of the activities of one sense with any of the other senses. So when we eat that spiritual food, or prasadam, prasadam means the Lord's mercy. So when we eat that, we associate with Krishna by tasting. And just like these paintings of Krishna, wonderful paintings of Krishna, is one of the first things I was attracted to when I came to the temple. I don't know about you, but probably everybody is attracted to the paintings of Krishna. And that was one of the first things that Prabhupada pushed. Any disciple who came to him who had some artistic talent, any inclination towards art, he would immediately get them started on painting pictures of Krishna. That painting over there in the corner, that's a very early painting for one of the devotees in probably the late 60s. And that one over there in that corner, that's a very, very early painting of Krishna that one of the devotees did. So that we associate with Krishna in all different ways. The practices of Krishna consciousness are unlimited and varied. The first two are hearing and chanting about Krishna. Those are the most important. That's why we come here and we listen to a talk about Krishna. That's why we chant the names of Krishna. So these are all very easy things to do. Cleaning the floor. You clean the floor at home, everybody cleans their floor, washes their dishes or cooks, so we can do all these things for Krishna in devotional service. And then they're not karmic activities, they're akarma, they liberate us. Okay, well, let's stop there, it's about 10 minutes. Anybody have any questions? Somebody should have some. If you don't say something, I'm not talking to you.
Cool. This has been a nice class. I'm wondering how I can approach people who are. I cannot convince that this is real and they consider all of these stories to be mythology.
The thing is that people. It's like there's an example. There's one analogy. There's one analogy that Prabhupada uses. A couple. One and then I'll say the other one. One is like if you go into a room and somebody's sleeping, then it should be relatively easy to wake up. I mean, some people will go into like really heavy sleep, but mostly, you know, it might be a little harder to wake them up. But you can wake them up. But if somebody's like pretending to be asleep and they refuse to wake up, they'll wake up, they're waking up, but they keep their eyes closed and maybe they keep snoring. So if somebody refuses to wake up, there's nothing you can do. Or another example is people want to maintain their rebellious separate attitude towards Krishna. They don't want to wake up. But they're waking up, but they don't want to admit it. And another example that Prabhupada gave was, this is a real nice one. He was walking with some disciples in the forest, and he told them, he said, now if I become separated from you, somehow I become separated from you, and you don't know where I am, and you can't see me, but I'm not very far away. And I call out, I'm over here, I'm over here. Just come, I'm over here. And you can hear my voice. You can hear just by the sound of my voice where I am. But if you don't come to me, if you keep saying, Prabhupada, where are you? Where are you? But you know where I am. That just means you don't want to find me. You don't want to find me. So that's fairly normal in the material world. That's most people. That's why there aren't very many people who are willing to wake up. So they try really hard to say no, and then like no, Krishna, God, no, mythology, science. We believe in science. No, the senses. You people are simple. Well, I love one of the things. Oh, you religious people, you believe in God because you're weak and you need a crutch. But I'm not weak, I'm strong. So I don't need to believe in this big man in the sky who I can pray to and ask to do things for me because I'm strong myself. Well, it's ridiculous. No one is strong. I remember I had the Superman comment when I was a kid. I remember it was on the front cover and somebody had attacked them with kryptonite and we know that Superman can do anything on this planet, right? But like Lex Luthor or somebody attacked him with kryptonite. And he was so weak in state that he was lying on his bed and he couldn't move. And the thought balloon over his head on the cover was, I'm the Man of Steel, I'm Superman, but I can't even raise my hand off the bed. So no one is strong. You can take the biggest weightlifter there is, he can lift 1,000 pounds over his head, but if he gets a little flu bug in him, he won't even be able to raise himself out of bed. So that's one of the things that, oh, you need that because you're weak, but I'm strong and I don't need a crutch. You people need a crutch. They love that word, crutch. Because I don't need a crutch. So the thing is, most people, the thing is just give the holy name, let them hear the chanting like you're very dedicated to doing. Very dedicated. And give prasadam and let them have some association with the devotees. And the example that's given is of a germ that gets in your body. A germ gets in your body and it doesn't produce the symptoms of the disease immediately. But in due course of time, it will produce. So you don't worry about it. If somebody doesn't want to take, that's all right. There are other people who do want to take. And the people that you give a little bit to, unbeknownst to them, and they will later be attracted. I knew one devotee used to live here. He joined about the same time I did, and he was a student in like 1974, 73, and he was a freshman in, I think, George Washington University in Washington, D.C., and he used to see the devotees out there doing Harinam on the street. They were out there chanting together. And when every time he'd see them, he would like cross to the other side of the street, get away from them. Or sometimes he even threw things at them. I think he said he a couple times he threw a rock at them. But within that year, he was in the temple. He was a devotee in the temple. So, you know, you see, you can never underestimate the potency of Krishna to change the heart, to act upon the heart and change our heart to become, to go back to like him again, to want to be with Krishna again. Krishna is really strong. Anything else? Any questions?
This raises the question of why we pray. There are different aspects to prayer.
Yeah.
Some people pray because they feel helpless. They want God's mercy and help.
Yeah.
Others pray to acknowledge that everything that we have in this world is a bounty given to us, Lord's blessings. We appreciate all that. So prayer has many aspects. Depends on one's emotional and spiritual nature.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there's different... There's unlimited variety of human of people and pray in different ways. There's basic categories. One, the prayer of Lord Chaitanya, the ultimate prayer is the Hare Krishna mantra. Prabhupada said it's a prayer. It's a prayer to Krishna. It said, "Oh Krishna, the first supreme personality of Godhead, oh Radharani, the energy of Krishna, the pleasure potency of Krishna, please engage me in your pure devotional service." That's the prayer for service without any expectation of return. Krishna, I know this one real quick. It's a joke with a moral. This guy is driving around and around the block and he can't find a parking place and he starts praying to God. He says, "Oh God, please give me a parking space. If you do, I'll promise I'll do this, I'll do that. And then all of a sudden, he sees a parking space that he didn't notice before. And he said, and he goes, "Never mind, I found one." So that's one type of prayer. That's sort of motivating. But there's the story of God, the devotee of Goddess Durga. He went to the Durga temple and he prayed to Goddess Durga. He said, "I'm a very poor man. Can you give me some material wealth, some benediction?" And Durga, the deity, said, "Yeah, I'll give it to you, but you have to come in a month and offer me a goat in sacrifice." So the man said, "All right." So I'll tell it real quick. But the man went home, and very shortly he was benedicted with a lot of wealth. And then later he went back to the temple, and the goddess Durga, she said to him, "I gave you the benediction for the wealth, but you never offered me the goat." And he said, "Well, you know, it's really, I couldn't get it. It was really hard to get." And so she, goddess Durga, said, "Well, you should offer me a chicken then. At least you should get a chicken after that." And the man said, "Okay." And then he comes back a month later, and goddess Durga said, "You said you'd get me a chicken, but you didn't do it. I gave you the benediction. You said you'd make a sacrifice, but you haven't done it." And she said, "You have to sacrifice something." He said, "Can you at least offer me a fly?" And the man said, "Well, there's so many flies flying around here. Can't you just catch one yourself?" Anyway, that's a sort of humorous story. Yeah, of course, it's a motivated prayer. Like, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you, God. If you do that for me, but we want to be more selfless. We want to be a Krishna, whatever you want, I'll do, without any expectation of return. So Prabhupada said the most clearest example you can find of that in this world is like a mother and a baby, or a father and mother and a baby. They do everything for the baby, and the baby can't do anything for them except lie on its back and cry and poop and eat and sleep. That's all it can do. He can't do anything for them, but they have to do everything for him or her. So that's the closest example we can find in this world to selfless service, the love of father and mother. But Prabhupada says specifically the mother is the closest thing you can find to pure love in this world. Okay, we'll stop there. So we're going to sing this song now, the song of the Lord Damodar, and we'll be coming up and offering the candles to the deities.
Thank you.
Jai Shishana.
Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bye.
Siddhanta Sarasati Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti, Vaishnava Rindi Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sri Kaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas, Adi Gaura Bhakta Rindi Ki Jai, Sri Radha Krishna, Gopina, Shamakund, Radha Kund, Govardhan Ki Jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Gangamai Ki Jai, Chumunamai Ki Jai, Talsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrindi Ki Jai, Krishna Radha Bhakta Bhava Ki Jai, O Premanandi Ki Jai, O Bhavishthi, All glories to the assembly of the Krishna. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Namaste Narasimhaya. Prahlada Lada Dayane He Anya Kashi Purvakshaha Kashi Purvakshaha Shila Tankana Kalaye Ito Nishinga Parato Nishinga Yato Yato Yamitato Nishinga Bahir Nishinga Hidaye Nishinga Nishinga Madhyam Sharanam Prapadye Kara Kamala Vare Naka Adbhuta Singha Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanu Bringa Keshava Jita Narahari Rupam Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Kamavare Kamavita Singha Jai Tai Vanyakashipu Jagadisha Nari Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Narahari Rupam Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Yeah.
Hare Hare.